I want to wish all of you a happy new year. You know, although it is just another date on the calendar, I mean, objectively, it's not actually different than any other. The start of a new year just feels significant, you know, like an opportunity. We hope for a fresh start. We've probably spent some time thinking about goals or changes that we want to make. A lot of us make resolutions. But for me, and probably a lot of you as well, these last couple of years have made it a bit harder to feel that kind of optimism. You know, there are signs of our discouragement, of our increased levels of anxiety, of our frustration, of our fear. We can see it everywhere. And of course, this growing threat of growing cynicism, you know, that's reflected, I think, really profoundly in this observation. Maybe you've heard it, that this year is 2022. I mean, the whole world is hoping that this is not going to be a repeat of 2020, right? And I would tell you that I am guardedly optimistic that this coming year is going to be easier than 20 and 21 have been for us. But emergence of the Omicron variant that's been reflected in these skyrocketing COVID infection rates remind us that we are not out of the woods yet. In this last week, which has marked the one-year anniversary of the storming of the Capitol, reminds us that political turmoil in our country, all the way from the nation's capital down here to our very neighborhoods, it's still very much a problem. And so some, perhaps even many of us, would still characterize these as dark days. Not just because there's less daylight this time of year, but because dark describes pretty well what a lot of us are feeling. You know, the metaphors of light and dark, they're powerful word pictures that help us to communicate what it is that we are seeing, what it is that we are experiencing, what it is that we are feeling. Darkness, it suggests uncertainty, confusion, ignorance, unhappiness, even evil. Light implies goodness, clarity, wisdom, purity, safety, and of course, hope. John, the writer of the fourth gospel, capitalizes on the metaphorical power of light and darkness throughout his gospel. For example, consider two of the most well-known stories from his gospel, the story of Jesus and Nicodemus, and then the story of Jesus and the woman at the well. Nicodemus visits Jesus at night, under the cover of darkness. And in the dark, he struggles, even as one of Israel's teachers, he struggles to understand what it is that he is hearing. And in fact, John's account of their conversation suggests that Nicodemus remains in the dark, confused, uncertain. But on the other hand, the woman at the well meets Jesus in the middle of the day. The sun is at its brightest, and she, unlike Nicodemus, sees things clearly. Convinced that Jesus is the Messiah that she's been waiting for, she's changed by this encounter, and she rushes off to invite her neighbors to come and see Jesus as well in the light of day. Night and day, darkness and light, highlighted to emphasize the message that John has for us in his gospel. Well, John's affection for this use of light and darkness to communicate about Jesus begins at the very beginning of his gospel. And it is that beginning and what it teaches us about Jesus that we're going to look at today. Because if there is anything that we need more of right now in these seemingly dark days, it's more light. More light to guide us as we begin this new year. And so this morning, we're going to look at the prologue of John's gospel. And as we do this, we're going to see four reasons why Jesus is exactly the light that we need to guide our way in our beautiful but broken world. So if you have a Bible or a Bible app on your phone or tablet, I would invite you to open up to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. You know, even today, many people believe in Jesus. Muslims believe him to be a great prophet. Jews describe him as a rabbi. Even many secular atheists think highly of Jesus, believing him to be an inspirational teacher who taught a message of love. But John, the gospel writer, claims more than this. John claims that Jesus is actually God. And this is the first reason that we should look to Jesus as our light. And that reason is because Jesus is none other than God himself. Now, in this text that I'm about to read to you, John speaks of...
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
That's what he says. We could not have planned that better, Sam. That was fantastic. John speaks, as you just heard, John speaks of the Word. Now, John here is referring to the person who will become Jesus, the person who is at the very center of the Gospels, in fact, is at the center of the entire Bible. But this title that's given to him, the Word, is significant in ways that you might not initially realize. It's a term that's actually full of meaning. In the original language of this text, the term was logos. It's a Greek word that had a rich, wide range of meaning in first century Greek philosophy. But it actually seems that John had something else in mind when he uses it here. See, throughout the Old Testament, we read again and again about the word of the Lord. We read that the word of the Lord came to the prophets so that the people might know the mind of God. In the Psalms, it says that the word of the Lord, it was by the word of the Lord that the heavens were made. And so see, in the Old Testament, the word, God's word, is his powerful self-expression. In creation, in revelation, in salvation. And I think that it is this Old Testament background that John is thinking about as he writes this prologue. And so let's look at the text. Verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Now, John here has made three profound claims about the Word, about the person who will become Jesus. Three claims about his existence in the beginning, in that period of time before God had created anything. First, John tells us that the Word was there before anything that would be created was created. The Word was already there. And so that means that the Word is not part of creation. Second, John tells us that the Word was there with God. The Word was not there alone. The Word was there with God. Now this is relational language. Before anything was created, the Word existed and was there in relationship with God. Third, John tells us that the Word was God. In just a single sentence, John is telling us that the Word was God and that the Word was with God. He's claiming that both of these things are true. See, in the Bible, God is revealed to us as a triune God. And this means that he is one God who exists as three persons: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, this is a mystery that we can only partially describe and can only inadequately understand, but it does reflect what the Bible actually tells us about the person and nature of God. So in the structure of this Trinity that I've just described to you, the Word is the Son, the eternal Son who will become Jesus. And I'll come back to that in a few minutes. But for now, what we are told in the opening lines of John's gospel is that the Son, who will become Jesus, was there in the beginning before anything was created. He was there with the Father, and he was there as God. So what does this mean for us? If there is anyone with the power to give light and direction to our lives, if there is anyone that has the authority to tell us what is right and wrong, if there is anyone who has the position from which to tell us how to best live our lives, it is Jesus. Because according to John, Jesus is God himself. Now, this is admittedly an audacious claim. It is one that separates Christianity from all other belief systems, religious or secular. But this is what the Bible claims about Jesus. And it means that he has the power and the authority and the position from which to tell us how to live our lives, how they should be lived. Because this is the prerogative of God. And the Bible says that Jesus is God. Jesus is the light we need. But there's still a lot more light to be shed on this, on all of this. See, the second reason that we should look to Jesus as our light is because Jesus is the one who creates and recreates all things. Look at verse 3. Through him, the Word, through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So it was through the Word, the eternal Son, that God the Father made all things. At the Father's direction, the Son created all things that exist. Now, in the Gospels, we see that the Son's creating work did not end when the universe was created. The Gospels are full of stories of people whose lives were recreated by meeting Jesus. In fact, last week, if you were here, you had opportunity to hear the story of a man whose life was recreated by meeting Jesus. See, in the Gospels, Jesus takes people who are broken and he begins making them whole. We see stories of those who are sick who are made well, those who are blind are able to see, those who are lame are able to walk, those who are rejected by others, they're accepted by God. Those who are outcasts in society are adopted into a spiritual family. Those who are dead are made alive again. This is recreation language and work. And it lies at the heart of Jesus' message and mission. So as this new year begins for us, we should look to Jesus as our light because he is the one who creates and recreates all things. That means it doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter where we've come from. It doesn't matter what we've done or not done. It doesn't matter what it is that we are struggling with right now or what kind of mess we might be in right now. Jesus welcomes all who come to him, and he gives new life. New life that begins now and is completed when he comes back again. See, in Jesus, we are and will be recreated spiritually and physically. Jesus is the light that we need. But there's still more light to shed on this. The third reason that we should look to Jesus as our light is because of what Jesus reveals. Now, if you're following along in the text, which I hope you are, we're going to skip over a few verses there in the prologue that are actually about the prophet John the Baptist, because he's not who we're focusing on this morning. So instead, we're going to jump down to verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Jesus reveals God to the world. Jesus is the light of God in the world, shining brightly in what he did, the miracles, the acts of service, the love, shining brightly in what he taught about love and forgiveness, about humility and sacrifice. Jesus reveals God, especially the love of God, to the world. But even here in the prologue, before we even get into the gospel itself, John hints at how the world is going to respond to it. Many are going to refuse to recognize what it is that they are seeing. Rather than being drawn to Jesus' light, they're going to scorn and reject him, choosing darkness instead. But those who recognize what they're seeing and are drawn to his light, who will listen and follow him, these Jesus will make children of God. But here's the thing about the light of Jesus. The light of Jesus doesn't just reveal God. The light of Jesus also reveals who we are, for good and for bad, in all of our beauty and in all of our brokenness. You know, we can fool others about who we are. We can even get really good at fooling ourselves about who we really are. But we cannot fool Jesus about who we really are. Because his light is too bright. It is too pure. It is too penetrating to not fully expose both our beauty and our brokenness. So we should look to Jesus as our light because he reveals God to us, the heart of God, the plan of God, the mission of God, the grace and the goodness of God, the forgiveness and the mercy of God. All things that we need because we are the beautiful and profoundly broken image bearers of God. And that is something that we see most clearly as we draw close to the light that we find in Jesus. And even though the closer we get to Jesus, or this closeness to Jesus only further reveals our brokenness, what is so marvelous is that as that happens, Jesus doesn't turn away from us. Instead, it is in his light that we are still welcomed and then changed and made whole. Jesus is the light that we need. One final bit of light to shine in this matter. And that is the fourth reason that we should look to Jesus as our light. And that is because Jesus became one of us. I'm not sure what is more amazing, that Jesus is God, or that God became Jesus. But either way, we have reason to look to Jesus as our light, because in Jesus, God became one of us. Look at verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. All right, let me explain the distinction between the eternal Son and Jesus. The eternal Son, the one whom John refers to as the Word in this text, is the second member of the Trinity, as I've already mentioned. The second person in the triune God revealed to us in the Bible. Fully God, yet distinct in personhood from both the Father and the Spirit. Now, I cannot fully explain that. I can only describe it. Jesus, on the other hand, is the eternal Son, but not until he took on human flesh. And while the eternal Son has always existed, I mean, just as John has said, in the beginning was the Word, Jesus didn't start existing until the moment that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary. So when we're speaking of Jesus, we're speaking of the God-man. The eternal Son with his divine nature joined to a human body and nature to become Jesus. Jesus is God incarnate. Jesus is God with flesh on. As Eugene Peterson puts it in The Message, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We should look to Jesus to light our way in the new year because he loves us enough to become like us so that he could move into the neighborhood. And Jesus did this in order to show us how to really live. And not from a distance, but right from our side. Not theoretically, but with hands-on practicality. Not abstractly, but in the concrete physicality of a body that could bleed and even die. This is why we should look to Jesus to light our way in this coming year. You probably noticed here also that John tells us that we can see the glory of God in Jesus. Now we hear that and we probably think about his miracles. And that's not wrong. I mean, there is certainly a lot of glory on display when Jesus turns the water into wine, when he heals the sick, when he makes the lame walk, when he feeds thousands with just a few loaves and fishes, when he makes the blind man see, when he raises Lazarus from the dead. There is plenty of glory in all of this. But none of those moments are described as Jesus' greatest display of glory. Instead, in a twist of irony on a truly divine scale, John points to the cross, to the sacrificial death of Jesus as his moment of greatest glory. It was in the midst of enduring the very worst that this world has to offer that God's glory in Jesus was at its greatest. When our sin was on him, when he was giving his life for ours, when he was dying so that we get to live. In that moment of the greatest darkness, that is when the light shined the brightest. Because when it comes to Jesus, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not, nor ever will, overcome it. This is the kind of light that we need to light our way in the new year. And so as you think about this coming year, as you think about your plans, as you think about your dreams, as you think about your ambitions, as you think about your fears, your anxieties, your worries, join me in committing anew to looking to Jesus to light our way. You know, in a few minutes, we're all going to get into our cars and we're going to drive out of here. As you leave the parking lot, some of you are going to feel like you're driving out into a world that is full of opportunity and possibility. Others of you are going to drive out of here sensing nothing but darkness and reasons to worry. I think most of us are probably going to have a mixture of both. But wherever you are in this, remember, Jesus is the light that we need. As the Apostle John has reminded us, Jesus is God himself. Jesus is the one who creates and recreates. He is the one who can make all things new. Jesus is the one who reveals God to us as he also reveals our own beauty and brokenness. And Jesus is the God who became one of us to show us how to live and then to die so that we can live again. Jesus is the light that shines in the darkness. And no amount of darkness can ever overcome him. Join me as I pray. Father, we praise and worship you for your glory, your promise-keeping love, your covenant-faithful mercy, for being a God who rescues us so that we can serve you in holiness and righteousness. Jesus, we pledge our highest love and loyalty to you as the Word who became one of us. Thank you for willingly, joyfully enduring all that this life entails for the sake of showing us how to live and then rescuing us through your death. We worship you as the one who rose from the grave, never to die again. Holy Spirit, teach us to look to Jesus to light our way in this coming year. We pray for joy and peace and fullness in 2022. We also ask you to deepen our faith in times of suffering, testing, and conflict. Remind us that in Jesus we have all that we need to endure faithfully. Empower us for lives of faith, service, and ministry in our beautiful but broken world. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.